your business can hit $1 million this year. They're coming because what you sell in the store is helpful and useful and meets a need and desire. It's not as much of the story as much as you feel like it is the story. The story is important, but ultimately when a buyer buys, they want to buy something that's gonna sell. Hi, I'm Jacqueline Snyder, and this is the Product Boss Podcast. I've helped launch and grow thousands of product-based businesses, even one of my own. And over the last 20 years, I've seen behind the scenes of businesses just like yours. Whether they are makers, manufacturers, artists, or food and beverage businesses, I have spent so many hours studying it all. I've discovered what makes them successful. What are mistakes they could avoid? How did they turn an idea into a successful business? And what are strategies they have used to make more sales and be discovered by more customers? This is what this show is all about. Whether you're just starting out or you're looking to become a million-dollar product boss, I'm here to give you the permission to chase your dreams, no matter how big or small. All you need is the right mindset, a little courage, strategy, and support, and you too can be the next million-dollar product boss. Let's do this. Hey, product boss. Starting your own business, let alone a product-based one, can be so tough, especially if you're struggling with where to start or figuring out how to reach your goals. I know, I say it all the time, but that's exactly why having a solid foundation for your business is so important. One of the best ways to build that foundation is to invest in a CRM that can grow with you. That's exactly what HubSpot's all-in-one platform does. It helps you level up your sales, software, and support. Plus, they have a huge collection of resources to help startups scale. And with the HubSpot for Startups program, you can save big off your first year. To see if you're eligible to save on HubSpot and learn more, visit hubspot.com/startups. Hey, hey, product bosses. We're back with another behind-the-scenes coaching session. This week, you'll hear from Stacy of Bee Blends. She's been a longtime member of Multistream Machine. I've worked with her in our mastermind, and she has been featured on the podcast not once, but twice. I absolutely love Stacy. Now, over that time, her business has grown in leaps and bounds, but she's ready to start making a change. Her physical retail store is burning her out, and it's not the direction she sees her business taking. But it's also responsible for 80% of her revenue. How can she make the leap to focusing online without taking a major step back? Let's see if we can solve this puzzle. Hey, Stacy, welcome back to
the
show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, we're recording this in January, so we're going to be post the busiest time of year because you have a gift shop and you also have a product business that you make, which are candles and bath and body and all the things. So it's really probably been a very hectic season, but I want from your mouth, tell us a little bit about your business, like the two arms of your business and what you sell.
Okay. So we sell all natural bath and body products and soy candles, aromatherapy, jewelry. Those are the products that we manufacture. So we sell that online and we sell wholesale, but we also have a boutique, like you said, and we carry our line of products and then also products that complement what we make. So we have, you know, like canvas makeup bags, or we carry handbags, we carry bamboo washcloths, things like that. So that is more of like a gifty kind of shop. And then we have our, just the products that we sell on our online store and wholesale. We are just northwest of Baltimore, so in a town called Sykesville.
It doesn't have a lot of foot
traffic. A fair amount of foot traffic. It's not a huge town. It's a small town, but we have a really good local following. We've had a challenging year because it's a very old town, so they had to come in and reconstruct all of the sewage and water lines and everything. So for 10 months out of the last year, our street was shut down or, you know, there was no parking. So it was a very challenging year for the town just because of like things outside of our control. But so that put back on foot traffic a little bit this year. But typically we have a decent amount of foot traffic. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got a decent amount. And how long have you had the store?
We've had the store for 3.5 years now. This store, we had other location before this one, but we've been here for 3.5 years.
And how about your business that you actually manufacture your own products? How long have
10 years.
That? 10 years. Okay. So that came first.
Yes.
And then you opened the gift store.
Right.
Yeah. Has the gift store ever fully been Bee Blends, like your products, or has it always been a combination of the products you manufacture and then buying wholesale from other people?
So when we first started, our first brick and mortar store was in 2016. It was just like a marketplace kind of thing. And they were looking for different vendors and we had never ventured into brick and mortar before. And we thought like, okay, we'll give it a shot and see how it goes. So we went in there and it was, I would say it was 90% Bee Blends and then 10% other things. And I just wanted to bring in other things because all of our products have their jars and bottles and like very like hard lines. And I wanted to bring in something a little softer to kind of, you know, give it a better feel for a retail store, for a boutique. So I brought in a few other things and it went really well. It was just like a 4-month kind of little gig. And then after we did that, we thought, oh gosh, this went really well. We have to like try to do some, you know, open our own store because it went really well. So through the years, as we've had a store, we've kind of brought in like more and more other people's things, partly because like for bar soap, for example, I just like can't keep up with the demand for the bar soap. So I have brought in like other people's soaps in addition to mine, just because I just can't make it fast enough. And then, you know, I just need to like fill the space. And so I would say now it's about 40% Bee Blends and 60% of other people's things. One of my goals for this year is to get rid of some of the other products that we carry, the other product lines that we carry that aren't really like in line with what we do, that have just kind of over the years, I've been trying to like find things to fill the store. And I really want it to be more focused on Bee Blends.
Okay. So I asked you this current state of your business and you said your business is quote unquote existing. So let's dig in a little bit into how you're feeling like your business is existing. Because I feel like this is between that, you feel like you're existing. And then you said your biggest struggle is lack of focus and direction. So I think there's that concept of you're just, like you said, you're existing and you're trying to figure out what to do next. So can we dig into that a little bit more?
Sure.
So tell me about your feeling.
Yeah. The business is fine. And I feel a little bratty saying that because I feel like there's a lot of people that would say like, oh my gosh, you're doing so well. And I feel like that's what it looks like from the outside. And honestly, we had a good year. Like we're not like struggling per se, but I just feel like the business has gotten away from where we started, who I am, what I really want to do and where I really want to take the business. And I'm struggling with how to like get it back or the direction to go. You know, when I say it's existing, like it's here and it's doing fine. I feel like I'm doing the same things over and over again and like kind of treading water and not moving in any direction. You know, what I want to do is I want to grow my brand because that's why I started. I want people to know who we are. I want people to know about Bee Blends. And not that I don't care about the other products that we carry in the store, but that's not who I am or why I started. And so that's why this year I really want to kind of like weed out a lot of those things and put the focus back on Bee Blends. Because honestly, when I look back at our best sellers are lip balms, which we make, soy candles, which we make, aromatherapy bracelets, which we make, and lotions, which we make. So all of our best-selling products are Bee Blends products. I'm nervous to get rid of the other stuff though. I want people to still come in and like, you know, I'm afraid if it becomes too like apothecary that it will not attract as many people in the door, I guess.
Okay. You started with talking about bar soap and that you can't keep up. And so you're buying other people's, but you didn't mention bar soap as your bestseller.
Probably because we don't make enough of it for it to be our bestseller. Yeah.
Okay. So it's more of a capacity thing. Because if you look at your store and like what you're bringing in your store, would soaps be at a bestseller in the store, like combined across your brand and other
people's
brands?
Yes, for sure. And I mean, the thing is that, and we had talked before about one of my goals is to shut down the store in the next couple of years and to have everything be online again. As much as I really like my store and I think that people really like it, it's just, I feel like it drains the life out of me. And again, it takes so much time and energy away from me being able to build my brand that I kind of almost get resentful towards it because I'm like, I don't want to deal with this stupid store anymore. I just want to focus on building my business. And I feel like it takes time away from me being able to do that.
Right. I mean, yeah. And everyone that has a retail shop knows, and you were in the mastermind with us. So we had a few retailers in there, and it was this idea of like, you're managing people when you have a store. So it's like trying to get people to come in and cover a certain amount of hours. And if they're not there, the owner, you or whoever else, is having to step in and you're like, that was not my plan today. Can people just show up when they say they're going to show up? You and I talked about whether you should sell the store, who to sell the store to. If you're not ready to do that yet, I think there's a cleanup on management that you can do there, that it might be worth you paying somebody to just step into the parts that you don't want to handle, including showing up to the store when no one's there. So that goes more into manager roles, and then in delegation, so that you as the visionary can step into the next phase of B Blends. So the next phase of you casting the vision, ideating what you want it to be, what products the company is going to be built on, and then the idea of the brand and marketing. Because I know one of your questions is about branding. You know, when someone asked me what I wanted my superpower to be, and it was like duplicating myself. Yeah. We can do that. We just have to be willing to probably part with some of our own money to hire people to handle the things we don't want to do. So like the delegation part, so that you can step into the role of boss of your business, but also visionary of your business. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
Maybe you can't actually duplicate yourself, but delegating is the next best thing. You have to invest some money. So it's something to think of once your business is generating revenue. But in an ideal scenario, delegation will let you offload work so you can focus on the tasks you really love doing. Most of the time, you'll even be able to find someone who does those things you don't like doing better than you could have done them anyway. Amazing, right? What you want to do is, it sounds to me like you want to move more towards like this wellness-based, clean, natural product company, and you want to get your focus back there. So a couple of the questions that I asked you was what you wanted to focus on. And one of the things you brought up was a rebrand. And rebrands are expensive. They take a lot of creative energy. So I guess, do you feel like the rebrand is essential for you to take B Blends to the next level of B Blends 2.0 sort of thing?
Not necessarily. I guess I think that where we are now, we could keep that and move forward with it. I think that there needs to be like some tweaks, but I don't know that we need to do like a total rebrand. And that's one of the things when I think like rebrand, I think like dollar signs and so much energy and like so much like brain power that I just feel like I don't really have right now, that it seems like overwhelming. Like I don't even know where to start, you know, but I do feel like we need to like step up our packaging a bit, you know, work on maybe our labels a little bit. I think that we need to like get the message across more that we manufacture everything and that we try to, you know, use clean products and all, you know. So do I think I need a total rebrand? No, I think that we definitely need some like help, tweaks, and, you know, just a little bit of like, I guess refinement maybe would be the right word.
Okay. And why? Has someone told you this? Is it getting in the way of taking the next step? Or is it sort of one of those things where, is it busy work? Because you're like, I don't know what to do next, but I know how to do this part. I just kind of want to dig into the why.
No, no one's told me that I need to rebrand or anything. No one's like mentioned that, you know. I think that it's more of like seeing like other companies around me and being like, oh, like, why am I not doing that? Or, oh yeah, like that's a great idea. Like I need to have my label look like that, or, you know, kind of that kind of thing. We all try to not compare, but it's really difficult. Like when you have a business, to not like look at other businesses and say like, well, shoot, if I could only do that, or if I was only, so I think it's more of like my brain thinking like, I need to do this or do that. And maybe I don't, it's just, it, no one's told me, it's just my brain.
Your brain. Okay. We can come back to this because we're kind of peeling away this onion, right? Trying to get to the core of it, of what we want to do. So the thing that you've talked to me about is that you have a B Blends 2.0, the store does not bring you joy anymore, and you're trying to figure out how do you shift it. And you obviously worked with me one-on-one. You have the program, for example, for figuring out the sales channels. So if you need the how, right, like the sales channels, you've got that in MSM. But one of the things I know that you and I have talked about was shifting your revenue. So Right now, it looks like 80% of your revenue comes from your brick and mortar store, which means we've got the foot traffic, the people who are coming are the people that are buying all the things you're buying. So if you were to shut down the store and be online, your business is a very healthy multi-six-figure business. So if you turned off 80% of that and 20% is left, it's scary and dangerous to the business, right? So what we have talked about doing is the idea of like giving yourself a timeline to start to shift the revenue. Now, there are two different revenue streams. So it's not to say that you're going to stop selling in the store, right? I'd love for you to be making multi-six figures from the store, even if it's in a small town, and multi-six figures from other sales channels. Now we've got $1 million plus business, right? And then you can decide what you want to do next with the physical brick and mortar. So do you sell wholesale yet?
I do. And actually, we started selling wholesale pretty quickly at the beginning of our business. Our wholesale drastically dropped this past year.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there were several larger accounts that we had that went out of business. So that was like a big loss to us. And then we've been on Fair, which we have never done great on Fair, but we did horrible on Fair this past year, which honestly, I'm not a fan of Fair at all. So I would be okay with just transitioning off of it completely. The store took a lot of my energy this past year. And I feel like I just didn't put the energy or the love into the wholesale like I had intended to or wanted to or have done in the past. So that might be a factor in, you know, wholesale going down this past year.
I agree with you in the way of when Fair came out and Bulletin and all the other ones, and, you know, we touch on it inside of the program, but the hard part for me about a marketplace, because Fair is ultimately a marketplace, and when it started, it was application only, but it's flooded now. It's the same way that I feel about Etsy and even Instagram, right? Like, if you've been on it for a long time since the beginning, you have the algorithm in your favor. If you're getting on once, like, it's kind of past that initial stage, there's a lot of work you have to do, and Fair is flooded. And so I'm the kind of person, especially from the way that I just grew up, I feel like I'm like, if I want something, I'm going to go out and get it. I'm not going to wait passively for things to happen. And Fair tends to be more of a passive platform. You're hoping people are going to find you and then buy from you. Versus when I've sold wholesale personally, I was at the markets. I was at trade shows. I eventually hired multiple sales reps across the country. They were doing the selling. There were people-to-people connections. And you're a buyer because you have a boutique. You're working with bigger brands even. So you almost have this cool like double agent, or like, you know, both sides. You know what it takes when people approach you as a brand for you as the buyer to buy. And then you are buying from bigger brands. And so you can actually see like what they're presenting to you and how they're approaching you. So it's kind of the same thing for me. Like, I was so fortunate when I started that even when I worked at Cosabella, which was at that point a $25 million lingerie company, we were selling to Neiman Marcus. They still had me as like an assistant designer and then eventually designer working the booth at like Miami Swim Show, for example. So then the next job that I got when I worked for a celebrity and I was her designer, I knew how to do markets and trade shows. And I would go set up the booth and I would be the one sitting there and meeting with the buyers. And then eventually I hired people to do it for me, but I was experienced. Like, I wore all the hats. Marketplace platforms like Fair or Etsy are popular because of how easy they make parts of the selling process. But that ease and popularity go two ways. While these easy platforms reduce friction, they increase competition by bringing in a wave of sellers looking for easy money. Now, I wouldn't discount these platforms, but one of the advantages you have is if you're willing to put in the hard work, you can truly stand out above the crowds. That's what I'm trying to urge Stacy into here. So you have that as a superpower. And I feel like if in 2024, your focus can shift to wholesale, I don't know if you remember, but like Michelle of Ollie J Dresses, she's like one of our very first MSM students. She was one of our very first mastermind students. She did this. She leaned into wholesale. And in the first year, I think she sold these dresses and she made it like 100,000. The second year is like 300,000 wholesale. She's hit over $1 million. And the bulk of her business is wholesale. Now, at the same time, if I was coaching you at the very beginning, I would tell you to have your own website, to have a social media feed, to have an email list, because I believe that you can't build on borrowed land, right? So you need to have your own place for people to buy from you, which you have. But for me, for you, the fastest one is adding on the sales channel or going deeper into the sales channel of wholesale. You've done it. You've seen it work. The problem is that we went more passive and wanted fair to compensate for the work that you need to do. And you understand wholesale because you're on both sides. So I think your focus and direction can shift that way. Your products are not expensive products in the way that, like, you're not trying to sell couches to them, right? You're selling soap and lip balms and soy candles and bracelets and all this. You have proof. You have your own store. So you can tell them, this is what I see the customers wanting. Like, you actually have that, like, feedback that not a lot of us have. And you can position yourself towards them. And so I see that as your fastest growing sales channel to add on, that you don't then have to worry so much about social media as hardcore, because let's say social is what's going to drive people to buy from you online, but you have hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in from the store. We can still work on smaller ways to start to shift people to buying online, which we've talked about, but the faster way is you doing the direct connection with buyers and starting to build a beautiful wholesale business. How does that feel for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth, like, over the years. I think initially, like, I was trying to, like, go really deep into wholesale. One of the things that holds me back is that I think to myself, we have a really good local following of people because people know our family or feel like they know our family. That's one of the things that, like, on our social media, we really, like, promote that we're, like, a family business. We are in the store. People come and see us in the store sometimes. You know, we do, like, live events and things like that. But once we get, like, outside of our immediate area, like, I think to myself, well, why is a company in California going to buy my candle when they could buy thousands of other candle brands between here and there that they could get more local and it's going to be cheaper to ship? And, you know, so then I think to myself, like, okay, maybe wholesale is not going to work. Because I talk myself out of it because, like, that. You know what I mean? Because I think, like, why my brand when there's so many other to choose from? Like, what makes me different for someone who's not local to my area, who doesn't feel a connection with my family per se?
That's a good question. So why are you buying the other brands for your store that aren't local, that you don't know their family? Like, so what's making you buy the other products that are filling up your store shelf?
A lot of the brands that we carry are local. And I do try to, like, get brands that have a good story behind them. Some of them I have found at America's Mart, so they're not necessarily local to my area, but I found them, I met them, I like them, and I just want to promote their story and their business, so I carry them. But I would say I do try to bring in local, and I do try to support other small businesses that have a good story.
And the people who come to your store and they're there and they're buying stuff and the coverage that you do on the floor of your store, are you going up to them and talking to them about the individual stories? Like, how much of that is taking place in the store to sell to them? Or are they just walking around and looking at stuff and buying it?
Yeah, for the most part, people just walk around and they just buy it. So I think, like, the stories that are in the products don't necessarily, I mean, we might have, like, a little, like, a shelf setter that, like, tells a story. I don't know that a lot of people are reading it or paying attention to it per se.
Hey, hey, Product Boss. It is podcast recommendation time. This month, I'm all about the DTC Pod, hosted by Ramon Berrios and Blaine Bolas, which is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. DTC Pod is all about direct-to-consumer topics and covers everything from starting, growing, and optimizing e-commerce stores and direct-to-consumer brands. I absolutely love the recent episode they did with Rosalie of Wild Wonder, who digs deeper into how she was able to bootstrap her multi-million dollar beverage company. Rosa also dives into their omni-channel approach and how her brand continues to stand out in a crowded market. Sound familiar? Sounds a little bit like multi-stream machine. It works, my friends. All right, so you'll definitely leave feeling inspired. So go check it out. Remember, it's proof it can be done. Listen to DTC Pod wherever you get your podcasts. calling all product-based business owners who are making over $100,000 in their business. Yes, if you have crossed that six-figure mark and you're on your way to $1 million, this is for you. If you're ready to up-level your business this year, I have a free masterclass for you, and it is called The Proven Path to a Profitable $1 Million Business. Now, before I get into all the details, did you know that only 12% of women-led businesses make it to $100,000 a year? And what's even crazier is that only 2% make it to $1 million in revenue. Well, my friends, this is where we have to change these stats. So if you're at this level, you've shown that you've got what it takes. But what got you here is not going to get you to that next level, which is why it's time to learn some new tricks and strategy. So if you're ready to take your business to that next level, join our exclusive free masterclass, The Proven Path to a Profitable $1 Million Business, and discover the secrets to breaking free from being the bottleneck. I want you to help assemble a capable team and embrace your role as a CEO who, by the way, takes vacations while the sales still roll in. Yes, I said vacations. So if your business is making more than $100,000 a year and you are ready to kick your business up a notch, secure your spot for March 13th at theproductboss.com/provenpath. It's theproductboss.com/provenpath. Let's make this your breakthrough year and let's do it together. So we're telling a story that you have in your head because that's how you've done your buying. But I think what you're missing is the talent is actually you. So what does that mean? That means a really good buyer is the person who curates a store, understands consumer behavior and commercial products, and knows how to sell commercial products. I just read an article with Tom Ford because he just sold his company. He's leaving the fashion industry. And he was talking about how he was the person who, for Alexander McQueen, when Alexander McQueen was younger, he had hired Alexander McQueen. I forget which brand he had moved him into. But he was he was an artist for artist's sake. And he was and his medium was fashion. Versus Tom Ford was I am so commercial that if you put 5 pairs of shoes in front of me, I would pick the shoe and I would tell you the shoe that would sell out. And I was thinking about that. And I was that's actually very much how I've always been. When I was in fashion school and we had these huge runway shows and my stuff got the most likes, let's say, before social media. But it was the most consumer aligned and commercial. And there is nothing wrong with being commercial because we are in this business to sell stuff to consumers and sell things to them. And so I want you to start to hone in on your talent as a buyer and understanding what customers want. And so what that means then is in your development of products and from all the years you've been buying and the stuff that you're putting on your shelves that you're selling, you know what customers want. There are other people that don't have the superpower that you have that are just making up things or they're coming up with scents of candles because they like them. But, the things that you're doing, your lotions, your lip balms, the aromatherapy bracelets, soy candles, and soaps are probably very scent-oriented, right? So your magic power is actually, you have a nose for scents that are commercial and sell. And so I want you to wear that as a badge of honor and being this is actually what I'm really good at. So instead of getting in, your story is that you have a really good sense of scents. And while we know the story, and you only have a couple thousand followers on social media, your business could hit $1 million this year. They're coming because what you sell in the store is helpful and useful and meets a need and desire. It's not as much of the story as much as you feel like it is the story. The story is important, but ultimately when a buyer buys, they want to buy something that's going to sell.
That's going to sell. Okay.
And I think you can lean into that as look, I have this. I sell out of these all the time. I know customers love the apple scent, blah, 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 blah. So when we had Valerie Brennan of Brennan Candle Co. on, she realized that she's a candle snob and she has snobbish scents. I think you are more approachable. You have more of a consumer scent, really seasonal. And if you think about your family, it's scents the whole family would love, or the way to make home feel like home. so many candles have gone luxury or individual, but yours is like scents that make home feel like home.
It's true. Yeah. Even when we try to name our candles, we smell it. And then I try to come up with a name that like kind of evokes some kind of like emotion or feeling that people can relate to. It's funny because you can like have a scent and depending on what you name it, people will either like it or not like it. Because we've had scents before where we have a scent and nobody buys it. And we're like, all right, we need to change the name of that. And then we like rethink it and come back to the table and we change the name and then it like sells out. And it's literally just because of the name change. So yeah, I think that's like a really important part. I think you hit it on the head because we do, we try to like the scents that we have, we want them to be things that people relate to that remind them of something or make them feel a certain feeling, you know, bring back a memory or something like that.
Yeah. So I want you to hook onto that because if you think about like homesick candles, are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember when I was living in New York and then New Jersey, and I was like, I want the LA candle because I was homesick and I wanted the scent of like jasmine in the mornings, right? And so it really truthfully was being homesick and wanting a scent from somewhere else. So it's that idea again of like memory, creating memory through scent. Even again, when I lived away and I made like my grandma's stuffing, it was almost like, oh, it brought up the scent and the taste. Our senses are the things that bring forward memory. So I wonder if you lean into that as your story, because the thing is that the story is anything you want to make it. And the power is the consumer behavior behind it. So if you can get really clear on that, I know what you're saying, but if you have a good story and you know consumers buy it and your stuff can sit on the shelf of any boutique anywhere and people will treat it the same way they treat it in your store, then you'll sell. And when you sell in their stores, they're going to reorder from you. So I think there's a mindset thing getting in the way of why you think it's not going to work versus could we try it? I bring this up in many of these coaching calls, and that's because it's so important. You need to identify what your superpower is and lean into it. You need to identify what your best sellers are or what you're known for and lean into that. The hard part is that what you're naturally good at can often be invisible to you. And that's where things like communities, coaching, courses, and masterminds come in. When you get an outside perspective, someone else can recognize what comes easy to you that they know doesn't come naturally to everyone else. It's what sets you apart. So own it. So going back to your question about rebrand, if you can kind of like work with this idea and focus on it and think, okay, could this be where I shift my story? And then if I was going to do a facelift to B Blends and we were going to think it recalls memories, it's a way to bring memories back and then to like, and I don't know, I'm not using your words exactly, but to also make new memories. And then you think about your ideal customer and who it would be, because it's not going to be to every store everywhere in the world. It's going to be other stores that have that home feel. And it might be, you know, when Shabby Chic was in like the Shabby Chic stores and then your packaging looks like that. Or it might be the, you know, Magnolia Home sort of feeling of stores. So that's what I want you to think about. Like find other brands of the type of products you sell and figure out what kind of home they would be in. So I want you to think about who the customer is. She's probably a mom with kids. I'm going to say. Women typically make all the buying decisions anyways, just statistically. But let's just say it goes to that because maybe it's less of the college kid or the person who's like aspiring for the expensive candles. It's not the Brennan Candle Co. where it's like candle snob. It's the familiarity of it. It's the person who wants to make a home feel like a home and it comes with scents. And then I want you to start to think about who that customer is outside of where you live, where she would live, what does her house look like, what influencers does she follow, what does she aspire her home to look like, and then like, you know, is she buying Magnolia Home and like following everything Joanna Gaines does? Is she more of the home edit person that loves the rainbow color coordination? You know, like figure out these influencers that are helping her make her home. And then think about if I were to have a candle burning on her beautiful coffee table, in her kitchen, in her bathroom, if my lotions were going to be in her bathroom, if my soaps were going to be like at her sink or in her bathroom, what would that room look like? What would she be attracted to? Because the thing about candles very much, and I know you're not fully candles, but is the vessel it's in. Because you can sell a jasmine candle or a vanilla candle or a lavender candle to everybody, but it's almost like you said, it's the naming and it's the vessel, because it's the naming's the thing that gets them to reach and pick it up to smell. And also the vessels, it's like on a first date, like, are you attracted? Are you not attracted? Right. And if you're like, that's a really ugly vessel, for example, you may not even lift it because you're like, I never buy it because I never have it burning because I don't want it on my desk. In this rebrand idea, I want you to just kind of refocus, but it does not mean that you need to not start trying to sell wholesale now. You can always be shifting it as it goes because you still have a beautiful brand and it is selling.
Thank you. One of the issues, when you say vessels, one of the issues is that we have tried multiple times to, we started at farmers markets back in the day. That's where we started selling. And so we had a mason jar and that's what we went with because that was like, you know, the cheapest jar and it kind of fit the farmer's market vibe. And I really want to like get away from the damn mason jar and people just don't want anything else. It's driving me crazy. Like,
why do you want to get away from it?
I guess I'm over it. I'm sick of looking at it. And I just want to have something like a little bit more elevated, a little bit more classic, something that maybe fits in, I guess, not everyone's like house, but something that's just not so like farm-y looking. And we have brought out different jars and they just, the mason jar is just all that people want to buy and drives me crazy. I don't know if it's something that I need to let go of or I don't know.
I think if you can start to get more excited, because again, it's that comparison thing. Yeah. You're one of the people that are making the most money out of the people I work with through candles and bath products. So you're doing something really well. And as a fashion designer, I also get bored, right? And I want to move on. And I'm just like, okay, I'm ready. Like, this is my next phase. And you've tested it. But the mason jar for right now does make sense in the same sort of storyline you're telling of home feeling like home. It recalls a pastime. It makes me think about my grandparents would actually make jams. And I remember like they would teach me how to make jam. And, you know, now kids are like, you can make jam. You know, like we've moved so far away from doing things like that. So you're testing it. You're testing and trying, but you're like, the mason jar keeps selling. Okay. Yeah. Let's just keep selling the stuff that's selling. You're also different than the other jars. So if you move to the jars that are like everyone else and you're asking me why would it sell, well, now you're going to look like everybody else versus I'm not seeing as many mason jars.
Okay. All right.
At least where I'm shopping. So I would just test where you're at because your labels look good. Your naming is good. I'm looking at your site right now. How did the like the colored glass candles do?
Are you talking about the green and the cranberry color?
Yeah.
Those sold very well. Yeah. That's pretty much the only jar I've ever brought out besides the mason jar that people really like. Now, I have a hard time doing this wholesale because the cost of the jar is so expensive. So I didn't offer this wholesale. I only offered them retail because I just couldn't get the pricing right to do wholesale.
Okay. So when you are moving into wholesale, you're going to start with the mason jars. And I also think like you could just get rid of the tree of B blends. Just simplify the wording. I think just a couple of things with your font might shift the brand a bit versus you feeling like the whole thing needs to be shifted. Like I would actually just kind of get rid of the tree. I think that logo isn't necessary. And then the frosted, if you start to sell more candles, you can actually start to think about then maybe it's the next holiday season. You're looking at buying bigger bulk because when you start to sell wholesale, you're making 1,000 versus 100. So you're just going to start to shift towards that. During this call, I felt like this whole rebranding thing is a bit of a distraction. As a creative and visionary, I get it. Sometimes you just want something new and fresh. But Stacey is operating as if this rebrand is holding her back from sales when it's really more of a personal project. I want her to love her brand, but I think she can start making subtle tweaks that will refresh her spark while allowing her to address the core issues. Getting more sales beyond her retail store. when we're talking about the refocus, I want you to fall back in love with your company and fall in love with your customer. So really figure out who your customer is on a national level and how can you serve her. Then I think the details of the rebrand, but don't let that get in the way. And what I'd like you to do is go back into the MSM module of wholesale and learn how I teach to directly connect with store buyers and what to present to them. And you do not need to present your entire collection if you don't want. So certain things don't.
Okay. Yeah, we don't do that right now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Just don't do it.
Right.
And I'd like to see you set a goal for wholesale. So in this quarter, what kind of revenue do you want to try and build up to and drive? So let's say you're like, I'd like to add $50,000 in wholesale this quarter. Is that low, high? How do you feel about that?
That would be high from where I was this past year.
Okay. So let's say 50K, divide that by three. It's about 16,000-ish per month in wholesale. So then I want you to work backwards from those numbers and say, like, let's say each person, I'm just going to say they do a $500 order. So let's divide that by 500. So that means you need 33 stores a month to place a $500 order. And then you can build out, and again, I teach this inside of the program, you can build out what, like, a just say yes. If you watch the masterclass with Jared Mara Pura Vida, he teaches how he built Pura Vida and how he called buyers and they just had to say yes. And so if you watch that, you can put together a package that you present to them for them just to say yes or no to. And whether we hit the 50 or not, it's going to be like a snowball, meaning like you're going to slowly start to shift there. But you can see how like, okay, 30 stores, $50, you know, I teach you how to find them, how to call them, how to approach them, how to make them the offer and how to do the follow-up. And I think you can work towards that. And a lot of the research part, you might be able to ask some of your assistants to do for you. You can have them watch the module. They can do the research and then you can do the outreach. And they just present to you, like, here's all the contact info. And then you're prepared for that. And then you're just trying to close them. Now, whether you hit the 50 or not, let's just put it as a stretch goal. It has you reach for something versus if I'm like, go get $10,000. It's less motivational. And that's how I think you can start to shift the business into revenue coming from somewhere else. And as people discover your brand on other boutique shelves and they're loving, you know, Bee Blends and they're using the product, and then they're running out, they might actually, instead of going back to the store, go to your website.
Come online. Okay. What are your thoughts on trade shows? Because I've sort of been like on the fence for years and I'm a little bit nervous to take the leap. I don't know if like, I felt like the trend was maybe people are going less and less to trade shows, but then I have seen a couple businesses do really well, but then I've seen some not do well. So I'm just not sure.
I've spent a lot of money on trade shows where some worked really well and some sold nothing. When I paid a rep to do it and I had to pay the reps and the booth fee and all the stuff and they came back with no orders, I was like, what is actually happening here? So there are a lot of ways now that you can communicate online and find them and create relationship with them. So I think to start, I don't want you putting out a lot of money and having to go to a location and set it up. I think right now to start, I want you to just test and try the method of outreach. And then if you really start to see the businesses growing and you're like, yes, wholesale is the place to be, then you'll actually have more money to play with to go to the markets and to be a part of those. Because at those, you tend to meet some bigger buyers. Like, I remember one of our students, like Anthropology, walked by and bought from them, right? Because the bigger businesses have the funds to be there versus the small boutique owners like you. You might not have the ability to fly and go shop a market all the time because you have to be in your store. So that's what I would say. I would say I want you to just lean into what I teach you inside the program and then just try it. And then the stuff you don't like about your store, start to delegate out to move you out of that drain so we can get you more into visioning, abundance, and excitement for the other stuff. And don't get stuck on the rebrand yet, but as you're starting to do your research and you're starting to feel more comfortable with Bee Blends as a brand, and you're getting past this idea of it has to be local and it has to be my family and all that, I think it'll start to come to you more.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
How are you feeling?
Good. Excited about like trying some new things and going back to MSM and watching it and, you know, take, I don't know, looking at it from like a different angle now, because the wholesale portion I watched probably 2 years ago, I guess. So I need to go back and like dive into it again and digest it again and, you know, re-implement everything.
Yeah. And now that your team is bigger, delegate. So you can have somebody else, you can give them the login. They can watch the same thing. So they're being educated on the same part. So that if you're like, okay, this is how she says to find the stores, they can do it for you. They can just watch it and then go do it for you. And then they can come back to you with the list versus you having to like watch it, teach them. Cause that's all the obstacles that gets in the way.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for you. I think it's the easiest, fastest path forward is to add on a sales channel that doesn't require you to do the heavy lifting of marketing and driving people to your website. And then I'll say, once you get wholesale working and you've established the brand better, then naturally, and this is what happened for my business, your website sales will start to grow and increase. And then you'll have more energy because you'll be focusing on wholesale and manufacturing. And then it'll help you determine what you do with your store. And then you won't be as reliant on the store for all the revenue. So then it will feel easier for you to have to dig into the website and driving traffic there. But that, let's call that like next stage after.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I know it feels overwhelming right now because you're probably like, I have all these things to do, but I see that as your clearest path forward.
No, it seems like clarity. Yeah.
It does?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It seems like that. Yeah, at least it gives me a direction because I was sort of just like, I don't know what to do. And but it makes sense that wholesale is the fastest way to reach the most people to bring money in that will then filter into my website eventually. So.
Yep. 100%. And that's exactly the path I took. So tell our listeners how they can actually buy from you online and how they can support you and follow you and all the things.
So our website is bblends.com. So bblends.com. And then on social, we are bblends on Facebook and beessential at beessential on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being
here. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
This was a different kind of episode. Stacy was less concerned with making her business more successful and more interested in maintaining that success in a way that gave her more time and her life back. It can be hard to get customers who are used to shopping with you in person to go online, but it's not impossible. If Stacy can use wholesale to create another channel of sales and revenue, she'll have the leverage to start making the move online without cutting off 80% of her business. I've been working with Stacy for a while, and it's incredible seeing her business grow. I can't wait to see bblends 2.0. So if you love this episode, let me know, what was your biggest takeaway? If you haven't left a review yet for the podcast, would you mind doing that? You could even leave your biggest takeaway as a review. Just go on over, make sure you follow the show and leave a review. And my friend, I cannot wait to see what you do next. Remember, action takers are money makers, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for being here and listening all the way through the Product Boss podcast. If you love our show and it has helped you in any way in your business, would you mind doing two things for us? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Reviews help other product entrepreneurs know that this is the place to be to grow their businesses and realize that they're not alone. And we know that you all know that a 5-star and honest review helps you sell more products to more people. So you know that your reviews help us reach more listeners around the world. Remember, what we give is what we receive, and we are all about helping each other in the Product Boss community. We are all in this together. We would be so appreciative of you if you could take the time right now to subscribe, leave a review, and even share this episode on social or someone you know so we can impact more lives. And remember, subscribing means that you will get notified each time we release a new episode so you never miss a thing. You have helped us grow and climb into the top 10 of all marketing podcasts, and together we can keep climbing. Thank you, friends. And remember, there is room at the top for all of us.